Good evening. Good evening. AGP, I need my mic. AGP, can you tell AGP the mic's not working? Thank you, Noah. Good evening.
It does too work.
Good evening. There we go. Good evening. Welcome to the August 9th, 2011 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Let the record reflect that all members of council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Mr. George League.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Glad to see so many people here tonight. I have a few announcements. I meant to bring a picture that was in the Tribune of our local resident, Greg Garman. Many of us have known Greg since literally the day he was born. Grew up here, went to all of the schools here, went to Musicians Institute, got to the end. I eat mixed nuts up here. I was mortified to learn that my chewing is going out over the microphone. I do have a habit of just leaving it on because I think I'm so quiet, but I will fix that. So I hope that clears up the mystery for Mr. Thomas and his friends. Dynergy has informed us that the tank demo project that is, you know, on again, off again, is back on again, and they're planning on starting the week of August 22nd. The tanks will start to come down in a signs. There has been some controversy about the signs lately from a business up in town and from two businesses down in the Embarcadero. And basically it's when somebody else puts up a sign, the accusations come our way that we're showing favorites or that we're letting somebody else do signs and not somebody else. And I certainly want to send the message out that everybody's on the same playing field here. There are no exceptions. Yes, there are still people with illegal signs, and there are people that aren't going along with the program. And we have tried to take a friendly and unthreatening approach to it, and we're going to continue that tact. And it's getting better all the time. I will say that all the comments that I hear are positive. The town is looking better. We've had a very good July. We're packed every day down here in town, down on the waterfront. Those people are trickling up into town. I think everybody is benefiting right now. The motels are full, so we're doing great. But especially the comments that we always wanted people to come and feel a new energy here, I think that is happening. And hopefully the whole idea is that they take the message home and we get more visitors here. It's about increasing tourism. It is about a business-friendly move. I hear that some people perceive it as we don't like business, and this is about as business-friendly a council as you'll find. We're just trying to upgrade our town. It's working, and it's happening. And I hope that most of you agree the town is looking better all the time. And regarding the signs, because of the controversy, there is a workshop scheduled for next month. And we don't have a date set yet, but by next meeting we will. And we're also having a workshop on the Visitor's Center. That will also be next month. That one we also don't have a date for, but both of those meetings, do you think we'll have a date in a week?
Yes, we should.
Okay, now I'll ask the city manager to put that in a press release on the press release page or the appropriate place on the website. So if you want to know before the next meeting, which is 2 weeks away, look next week on the website, and it should be there. The North T Pier renovation, if I get the message from people that nothing's happening, and it does appear that way, but the survey has been done, the underwater survey has been done. It's at the engineers. We're waiting for the estimates, and then it will hopefully go out to bid after that. We're thinking it's going to cost this. Let's see what the estimates come in at. and what the scope of work is, but it is ongoing and it's in progress. It's a happening deal. And finally, I want to put a spotlight on Taylor Newton. Your last name, did I get it right, Taylor? Do you mind standing up? I'm sorry to do this to you. He's a humble guy. Taylor is in charge of the Guerrilla Gardeners. The Guerrilla Gardeners do this work all over town. We want to send our compliments to you and to all the guys who work for you. There's a lot more to what Taylor's doing than gardening. And it involves him working with our at-risk youth. He is a good guy and a treasure. And we appreciate everything you're doing for us, Taylor. Thank you. And a round for Taylor, please. And that's it for me. Noah.
Thank you very much. A couple of quick announcements. One, we were just notified from PG&E about a smart meter workshop that they're going to be hosting here August 17th from 5 to 8 p.m. That's a Wednesday, August 17th, at the community center. They're hoping to produce some information for people that are interested in the smart meter technology, what it may mean for them as a homeowner or renter, and trying to provide some more information. It'd be a great place to ask questions if you have specific concerns about smart meters or the future of your billing and so on with PG&E. So again, that's August 17th, Wednesday, 5 to 8 p.m. at the community center. I'm not sure if there's going to be follow-up workshops from that, but there are certainly places where you can get questions answered if you cannot make it to that meeting. Deanna Kennedy asked me to announce again the veteran support group meetings that she's been hosting monthly on the third Tuesday. She's continuing those, and this Tuesday's meeting is actually going to include pizza and salad, and it's at the Eagles up on North Main there. And she
Let's see. The commission to celebrate the centennial of the women's right to vote is moving right along in the county with our celebration scheduled for October 10th from 4 to 7 at Dalladay Adobe. Everyone is welcome. We will be honoring every woman in SLO County who has ever been elected to an office, city or county or school district. That includes those of us who are right up here. Also, very important, August 26th and 27th, Dahlia Days and this year, Cypress Nights. Please, please, please take care of your dahlias, water them once in a while, and cut your flowers and bring them with you. We'd love a really big display this year of local dahlias. I know a lot of you are growing them. And I think that's all for now.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening. Thank you. A couple updates. The Eco Rotary Club of Morro Bay will be meeting this Thursday at the Morro Bay Golf Course at 5:30. And the Morro Bay Rotary Club and Central Coast Women for Fisheries are hosting a fish fry fundraiser on Saturday, August 20th. If you're interested in tickets for that, you can see the police chief or the fire chief of Morro Bay and any other Rotarian. A reminder that as of July 1st, that carbon monoxide detectors are required in all homes in California, and so hopefully everyone in Morro Bay got that update. Local hardware stores have them available, so make sure you get those. And lastly, the Integrated Waste Management Board of San Luis Obispo County, in which I am the Morro Bay representative, is moving forward with a ordinance to ban the use of single-use plastic bags and paper bags. Those first readings and hearings will be at the San Luis County Government Center on September 14th at 1:30. So if anyone is interested in knowing about what that's going to entail, you can go to Integrated Waste Management's website, IWMA of San Luis, or attend that meeting on September 14th.
Thank you, Carla. Mr. Schultz, closed session report.
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, Council met on closed session to discuss the conference with labor negotiator. These are the negotiations that are currently going on between the SEIU, fire, and police, or actually police has been concluded. A couple of these items will be concluded tonight on open session for management and for confidential employees.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're at the public comment period. This is the time when we would like to hear from you. I'm going to invite Ms. Kim Van Nordstrand from ArtC to come up first as our business spotlight. Please bring your comments to a conclusion if the buzzer goes off. Please state your name for the record, and please speak into the microphone. Thank you so much, Kim. Oh, boy, here comes cookies our way.
Cookies.
This is a good thing for us.
Bribe the city council. Oh.
Thank you. Do you want to just pass them? We'll each take one.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Kim Van Nordstrand, and this is my daughter, Nikita. We have the little shop. It is an artisan co-op called ArtC. It's located at 736 Main Street. We are not in the Embarcadero, nor are we downtown. We're south of downtown, across from the Pizza Port. It looks like a little blue cottage. So when we discuss signage, at some point, I'd like to add pro signage for our out-of-the-way places. We are here to announce that we're going to open up a little tea room in our little shop. We have a fairy garden and a garden area inside the shop, so we're going to start offering teas. And my daughter wants to open up Swan Lake Bakery. It's her idea. So we'll be making some homemade cookies. And she has the best lemonade stand in town. So that occurs on Saturday during the farmer's market. Sometimes she makes more money than I do. She's very popular clientele.
Oh, bet I am.
So we've been open a year, so we're celebrating that. And that's really all I have to say. Come on down, shop locally. Our local artists are supplying my store, so everything is very locally made. And I have a stained glass floor that everybody should see. Oh, yes, and we're also teaching stained glass mosaic classes so that you can learn how to do a floor like mine. So they're 4 hours long. All the supplies are included, and they're $45. You can take 2-3 days to do them. I don't mind how long it takes. And we just like to spread the creativity. And then I'm going to get into the public art aspect someday and start spreading all over Morro Bay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Who would like to go next?
To do with what was already mentioned, the staff in two different groups taking pay cuts, actually. And I would like to suggest that council, since they're asking staff to take cuts, need to set the role model and cut back on their health insurance. I think you saw in if not the LA Times a few months ago, it was also picked up by the Bay News, that Morro Bay, out of 480 cities in the state of California, ranks up as number 32 in terms of paying the most for health care. And yet our population is 370, like we're almost near the bottom, 100 from the bottom. So it seems a little bit disproportionate, and so I would encourage you to look at that.
Thank you, Betty. Would like to go next? Hunter, and then Richard can follow. Go ahead, Hunter.
Welcome. Good evening. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, a resident of Morro Bay and executive director for Morro Bay Festivals. We do the Harbor Festival and the Music Festival. I'm here tonight. Eco Rotary asked us to work with them and with Newton Cultivation for the American Cancer Society Relay for Life event on a zero waste program, because we've been working zero waste at the festival for a couple years. And I'm just here tonight to, again, thank Taylor for all his hard work in the Gorilla Gardeners, and the success of the Relay for Life Zero Waste program is that 96% of all the waste generated was diverted from landfill. Less than 15 pounds from a 24-hour period, all the people that were there, all the food that was eaten and everything else had to get taken to the landfill. So it is possible. I call this event a 100% success. It was awesome. The Gorilla Gardeners did a great job. The participation, the help of everybody that was there, the Morro Bay Barbecue Farms assisted. They used the biodegradable plates. And it was really good. Zero waste is very possible, and I urge all the restaurants and anybody that's event organizer in Morro Bay to follow zero waste plan. We can do it. We can keep things out of landfill. Thank you.
Thank you, Hunter. Richard?
Richard Stowski, citizen of North Morro Bay. Shortly after you first got elected, Mayor Yates, I hand-delivered a copy of this report. This is our Morro Bay and nitrate study issues and concerns. It's a response to the CLEACH study that is identifying our Morro Bay and nitrate pollution to the farmers, and our report shows that it's more likely coming from exfiltrated sewage that is coming from the main lines entering our aquifer at 41 and Main Street. Regarding this issue, this kind of goes back to when the remediation action occurred at 1840 Main Street. You were mayor at that time, and the remediation action in our report kind of shows that due to the deferred maintenance practices of our collection system and the neglect of addressing that problem, the nitrates, further data since that report is showing that the nitrates are coming from sewage and not from the farmers. It is my understanding, I guess, that the staff is proceeding, trying to sue the farmers for this issue, and I would suggest that maybe we can agendize this discussion with this board. Another issue that I would like to talk about is the item A3 on the consent calendar regarding the desal product water line replacement project. I have video evidence that this line was not a replacement. It was a upsizing of the desal infrastructure, and that would require a CEQA review, and staff here had circumvented that process. So I would suggest that you take a closer look at your staff's actions regarding these public health and safety issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Taylor, then Marla can follow. Good evening, Taylor.
Hello, I'm Taylor Newton, and I live here in Morro Bay, and I'm a business owner. And I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Dahlia Days Cypress Nights, August 26th and 27th. This is the first year that it's added the Cypress Nights part, and that's because we now have a city tree, which is the Monterey Cypress. So we have a city flower, which is the Dahlia, and a city tree, which is the Monterey Cypress. And this is a celebration of those two organisms. And it's also a celebration of our community, our city of Morro Bay, and the people of the algae at Cal Poly. He's got a number of books, very popular. He'll be talking about the urban forest, and he will be joining us in a tree walk throughout town that will highlight the history of Morro Bay as well as the trees that make up that history, because they're such a big part of our town. And then the really great part of this event is that at 5 o'clock, 5 to 8 p.m., we are having our first, what would be great if it is an annual, but this is the first time we're doing it, so we'll see next year. But we're having a Morro Bay Community Barn Dance. And this harkens back to the days when we all came together at least once a year and put aside all of our BS and celebrated living in one of the most perfect places in the world. And this year we have we're lucky to have the Red Skunk Gypsy Swing Band playing for the second portion of the barn dance, and We Are Three. They're a group that is related to the 39 Plus Dance Club, and the dance club will also be there doing some demonstration and getting everybody on the floor. So I would just really encourage families, kids, older people, younger people, everybody to come out for this, even if it's just to come in and say hello, because I would hate to see people forget that we live in one of the most amazing places in the world, and we really need to pat each other on the back for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Taylor. Good evening, Marla. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. My name is Marla Jo Bruton. I'm a resident in North Morro Bay. First, I want to hit on the announcement that the management waste is going to have a, I think you said, a meeting to discuss the ban of single-use plastic bags. I know all about that, and that has to do with the pollution that ends up in the ocean and the degradation that it does to the sea life and what have you there, and the time it takes to biodegrade. I hadn't heard of any waste management company banning once-use paper bags, so that's pretty interesting, new to me. One of the ways to do help yourself with the plastic bags are these, any kind you want. These are mine. I make art, you know, make them creative. You can buy bags, and that's what we need to do to help to save our ocean from the plastic debris. The second thing I wanted to say is about the smart meter meeting that NOAA announced. I, as a resident, received a letter last week informing me that I was going to get my smart meter and that PG&E was going to come by and they were going to knock on my door. But don't worry, if I wasn't home, you didn't need to be home. They'd just go in my property and install the smart meter and leave a doorknob hanger saying that it was installed. Well, I called them to tell them that I declined the smart meter installation, and I was told that that was not an option, that you can delay, but sooner or later, everybody's going to have smart meters. Well, the PUC, Public Utilities Commission, has not yet issued their ruling. It should come at the end of August. And there are serious questions about the safety of using the smart meters and the heavy-duty radar that will be pointed at your house. It's particularly dangerous for small children, anyone on life support, anything like that. There's a myriad of problems with it that people, if you want to research that, you can do. And I suggest doing that before you go to the smart meter program with PG&E, because they're going to sell you. Santa Cruz banned smart meters by vote, and PG&E went ahead and installed the smart meters, and now the people are asking the police department to step in, and the police chief won't do anything. He says he has more important things to do than the smart meter problem. So there is a recall in Santa Cruz for the sheriff at this time. Anyway, it is a very important issue, and it is being forced on us. The last time I heard, there was no electrical ICL approval for the device. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Who would like to go next? Joan?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm here as a private citizen, a business owner, and your TBID chair, although I'm speaking as a TBID individual, not on behalf of the TBID board tonight. I would just like to address D6, which I know has come to you previously and was postponed until this meeting. And I know I spoke regarding this before, but it was our understanding that the TBID would fund the $50,000 annually from the Visitor Center. And we sent a copy of the motion, and that was to begin with the TBID assessment value returning to 3% of the gross room sales, which happened in November of 2010. At that time, $50,000 was swept out of the TBID budget immediately, starting November 1st, 2010. And since prior to that, from July to November, we were only being assessed 2%, we feel that if you begin to collect that $50,000 now, starting with the July budget, there could be two things there. One is that it would be more than $50,000 annually, as indicated by the motion that Ms. Borchard made, and also that if you wanted to correct that we could do that by either retroacting giving back the TBID, giving the TBID a credit for those 4 months and putting that money back into the TBID, or we could correct it by just starting payments again in November. So those are the issues we've had, and I should say that you're seeing this money back on the other end anyhow, because I'm sure you've already received the TOT reports for June, and June was another month that was up again. So thank you very much. I look forward to hearing what you have to say tonight, and I'm going to actually listen to you at home so I can be with my family.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Thanks for coming down tonight. Who would like to go next? Anyone? Mr. John Barta.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I notice our agenda has some fire issues on it tonight, a lot, in fact, and that's all good news. But I would like to make some comments about our sprinkler requirements, our retrofitting sprinkler requirements. Our public safety personnel rightfully want us to be as safe and protected as possible, and we thank them for that. However, sometimes good intentions lead to unintended results. The current sprinkler rules are just such a case. If folks choose not to do remodels and not to build houses because of the high cost of sprinklers, then people aren't safer in the end because they're just not doing it. There are many costs involved with these, from bigger water service lines to the engineering costs to put these things into. In the case of remodels, which are particularly expensive, people have to rip open their ceilings and put these heavy-duty pipes, all of which has to be engineered and tested and so forth, and it costs tens of thousands of dollars. And the result is that people simply don't do it. So, in short, zero new building and zero new remodels means no better safety than we had to begin with. It also means that the safety measures that are built into our other building codes, like improved drywall, improved insulation, improved electrical systems, aren't being implemented either. In short, we'll have a community of more aging housing that's not as good as it could be if people choose not to do these things. So I just want to point out that this is an area where I think we've overreached, and I think that we could do better. And I think doing better might mean installing advanced active alarm systems, for example. I know it's not as good as having a fireman standing in front of the house with a hose waiting for a fire to start, but if people aren't putting these systems in place because they cost too much, it's self-defeating. So I wish you'd, when the time comes, think about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. And another John. Step right up, Mr. Weiss.
Thank you, Mayor. John Weiss, business owner in Morro Bay, and also would like to express my appreciation. We recently chartered an Eco Rotary Club, Zero Waste at the Relay for Life, and with a lot of help from Hunter and Taylor and our club members. So that's one thing I wanted to mention on the side. But my real reason for coming before you tonight is to share with you that there is some financial pain within our community, within some of our businesses, and I know you're aware of that. And I want to let you know that the Chamber is working hard to address those issues the best we can and to try to facilitate us coming together to work on positive solutions. Clearly, the Chamber supports events and tourism. Recently, we've improved the visitor center. We're coming out with a toolkit, which is very close to being delivered, and I think you'll be impressed with the tools that are in there for our business community. We're revitalizing our ambassador program, which is designed to reach out to the businesses. We just sent out a survey and of those on our email list, and I'd like to invite anyone who may be able to get this broadcasted, if you would like to be surveyed. I know Craig is more than happy to. It's five or six questions, but we're just trying to get feedback on the economics of our local businesses and figure out ways we can make positive changes to help.
Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Okay. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you, Kim. She left. Her daughter's cookies were delicious. So if you're watching, Kim, thank you. Betty, thanks for your comments on health insurance. City Council health insurance has been cut down to the bare bones and the cheapest one you can get, and it used to be the reverse. So I don't know how much further we can go with that other than doing away with it altogether. But we appreciate your comments, Betty. Hunter, thank you for coming, and Richard, Taylor, I think you have a feeling Nancy appreciates all your Dahlia Days advertising there. Marla, Joan, and John Barta and John Weiss. Finally, I wanted to make a correction. I said Karen Carmen's dance studio is at Shasta and Morro Bay Boulevard. It's at Piney and Morro Bay Boulevard. So anyone is confused by that. There you go. Any comments? Anybody? Any comments? Great. Well, here we are again, 20 minutes before 7. And the rules state that we don't start public hearings until 7. And last time and tonight is the first time this has ever happened. Generally, we were late with getting to public hearings. I think it's a summer phenomena. Certainly if it happens a third time, I suspect one of us might want to talk about changing the rule, but we're here, and so we're going to take a 20-minute break, and we're happy to talk to you during this time, and we'll start up again at 7. I've forgotten something. Oh, consent. Thank you so much. It's so good. Yeah, of course. I knew this. I was just seeing if they were awake, and they would remind me, and they have. So we are at the consent calendar. Would anybody like to pull any items over here? Would anybody like to pull any items over here? Then can I have a motion, please, approving items A1 through A5?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And now we are 37 seconds after my last statement, and we're still at 20-7, and we will break for 20 minutes and be back at 7 o'clock. Session and see if we can knock out some of these later in the agenda ones, and we'll come back to the public hearing. D1, Ms. Luker. Sorry, make that C1.
Thank you, and I will turn that over to our Administrative Services Director, Susan Slayton.
Good evening, Mary Yates and council members. This item is a repeat performance from the last council meeting, and it is the actual adoption of the ordinance that will authorize the amendment of the second-tier retirement benefit for the sworn police officers. And I'll return this to you.
What are we doing? We just have to... Okay, can I hear a motion approving?
So moved.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Ms. Luker.
This is no, we're no readings. So we're moving on to the next item, Mayor Yates.
Do you have to read?
No, only when we introduce.
D1, Ms. Luker.
Thank you. And I will turn the next, actually, three items over to Ms. Slayton. These are all her items. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. D1 is a resolution that's authorizing the execution of documents for $1,500,000 in certificates of participation to build our fire station number 53. That is a document that is required by our bond council, and that's pretty much it.
Very clear. Any questions for Susan?
Just had one clarification. This is solely for construction of the station itself, but not for any amenities or facilities within that station once it's been built.
If I may, I'll answer that. This is with USDA. This loan does allow certain amenities. So, for example, it could be used to pay for furniture, fixtures, and equipment as well. But primarily it is for construction.
Okay. We had discussed that component of the project at a previous meeting about us having a little deeper discussion about that, because I don't want to bog this down particularly. I just was concerned that we could then get to mid-year and have some shortfalls and think to ourselves, so it would have been nice if we hadn't been as extravagant in some of the amenities within the station, not the station facility itself.
Okay. Are you okay at this point with this answer from Dylan?
I am, as long as we don't get to a point where we're looking at some very high-end items to fill in, such as furniture or fixtures within the structure, that then create more pressure on us when we get to mid-year to try to find funds for other important components of
there's,
the city's
there's
operations.
not a member up here who likes that when that happens.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that if there was that point of staff's pursuing this and the project timeline continues, that we, if needed, get a chance to weigh in on that or make sure that we don't end up in that situation.
Well, they would have to bring it back to us, correct?
Yeah, we can. I'm sitting here racking my brain. I guess a lot of the way that we've handled this is we've done allowances in the bid. We will have to bring it back to you, for example, on the furnishings, because of the way that we're purchasing that. And so that will come back to you, I believe. So that should come before you at some date uncertain, probably about a year from now would be my guess, okay. And maybe a little bit sooner than that.
You
that
good?
Works for me.
You have anything?
No, I was just going to say when I had spoken with Ms. Slayton and Mr. Wade earlier to ask on these three items, there is a over $900,000 over amount of what the bid is, and that's to cover a lot of the costs before the architectural fees and all those things and the contingency money in there. So they shouldn't be coming back. And I think that, if I'm correct, the city manager has met with the police chief already to go over a lot of the amenities and things that are to be included so that they fit within the budget.
That's exactly what I was hearing. Thank you for those questions earlier. They cleared up some of my questions as well.
Great. Then can I hear a motion, please, approving resolution number 52-11?
So moved.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. D2, Susan.
Thank you very much. D2 is a resolution that's also
are you
required.
On?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you on?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
AGP, maybe you could turn Susan's mic up, please. Go ahead.
D2 is, oh boy, I'm in stereo now.
Wow. CNN.
D2 is a resolution that's also required by bond council. It's for an additional $300,000 in certificates of participation. We had asked for the additional money due to the cost overruns on the bids, and so this will ensure that we have enough money between the $1.5 million certificate of participation, the $300,000 certificate, and the $1.6 million in ERA monies to complete the station. And so this is then the second of the two bond council required resolutions.
Questions? Over here. Can I hear a motion, please, approving resolution number 53-11?
So moved.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. D3, Susan.
Thank you very much. D3 is now a resolution that's required by the USDA to authorize the city manager to sign all of the USDA documents in relation to these two certificates of participation. This resolution states that the city manager is authorized to sign all USDA forms. If we didn't put that language in the resolution, every time we had a USDA form that needed to be signed, we would have to come to council and present a resolution to sign form number 1942. This covers everything, and it gives her the authorization to do that.
Questions for Susan? I hear a motion approving resolution number 54-11.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The fire station is now funded, and we're going to now, if council approves, award the contract. D4, Ms. Luker. Or Dylan, sorry.
Sure, I'll give the short and sweet. You guys now have a feeling for how the process has gone. Lots of I's to dot, lots of T's to cross to get to this point. And we're glad to be here. It's been a long, hard process. We've been bounced around a little bit by our funding sources, but we've made it. We're here tonight to recommend, I'll keep this very short, that the council award a contract to Rarick Construction of San Luis Obispo in the amount of $2,852,000 for the construction of the fire station.
Questions for Dylan? Go ahead.
Just a comment before we vote that I'm really happy to see that it's a local company that are participants in our community in Cayucas that is going to be hopefully awarded this contract.
And just for the public, we are awarding a contract to Rant for $1.6 million, and that's how this is being funded, and we do have the payments figured out, budgeted, so we know what we're doing, and bravo, good luck, Chief. We're waiting to see it rise now. And that said, we're at exactly 7 o'clock, and we're going to go to B1. Kathleen.
Yes, sir. This is a B1, is an amendment to conditional use permit UP0-042 and coastal development permit CP0064 for 555 Main Street to increase the density for this affordable senior housing project from 18 units to 21 units and to adopt Resolution 5811 authorizing the submittal of an application to the California State Department of Housing and Community Development for funding under the Home Investment Partnership Program. And we hope everyone remembers back in December 13, 2010, that the council modified this project to allow 18 senior restricted affordable units at this site, eliminating all commercial units. Once the applicant received this approval, began designing the project, and during this design phase, became apparent that there was room to increase the density from 18 units to 21 units. We've included in your packet this evening elevations as well as floor plans to give you some idea of where these units are all, how they're designed, and why there was room for additional three units. With that, we just point out that the density on this lot has been increased through a density bonus, and that we are asking you in approval tonight, you'll be modifying that density bonus to allow it to go up to 21 units. Staff is supportive of this due to the restrictions that will be placed on this project in that it will be senior, affordable, restricted, primarily or specifically two units to low income, and the rest will be some affordable unit restriction depending on what kind of funding and how the applicant projects actually evolves. And we also just point out that the parking, even though there's 21 units, they still stay at 18 parking spaces, but that is consistent with our zoning code because this project is senior restricted. And with that, we also just note that there is no modifications. The applicant hasn't asked for any modifications to the conditions of approval or any other increases or changes to the project other than increasing the unit count. And with that, we also just point out that the Resolution 5811 authorizing submittal of application is to the California State Department of Housing and Community Development Department for the Home Investment Program is just a follow-up cleanup action from your original authorization back in December 2010. And with that, concludes my presentation. I'm open to any questions.
Questions? I'm going to start with you this time, Carla. Nancy? I'm sorry.
Ms. Wald, I read through this and I guess I'm not remembering back to December. Were there any deed restricted in the original 18? Did we have any deed restricted for low, very low, or was it just all senior housing?
The original approvals that were done years back had two restricted low income units, and we've followed those through with all the modifications. We have not relinquished that requirement. So those have been here on this property for some time.
So does this add two more, or is it still just
no, we're
two
still
total?
There's still two. We're still total. Just keeping two at low.
Okay.
I believe that the funding and the applicants in the audience, and he can speak to this with some detail. Staff hasn't conditioned them for any additional qualifiers. You know, they're affordable. So, you know, there's four categories: moderate, low, very low, and extremely low. We're not putting any additional burdens on this project beyond the two. However, his funding will. So the fund, and if you look at your the resolution for that he asked for us to have you adopt tonight, the 5811, it indicates that there'll be low and very low income. So he's just offering that up. We haven't made that a condition of approval, though.
Nancy?
Yes. I didn't see it in here, and I know you and I talked about it this afternoon, the around $600,000 that is in our city fund for low-cost housing. Are we giving that up to him or not, or what's happening with that exactly?
Well, pursuant to your direction back in December 2010, you authorized staff to begin negotiations with the applicant regarding the terms and specific details of that loan. To date, I think it was just this last week that he initiated those, and those haven't concluded. So we don't have anything back to report back on the residual receipt loan. So you are not taking action on that tonight.
Okay, so there will be no action on that fund. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But when we're finished, if you want to ask him, you can. George? No?
Thank you.
The Affordable Housing Fund has over $600,000 in it, but there is an encumbrance on it currently of over $170,000. And that is for the project that is still in play for Teresa Drive. I believe that's where that project is located. So that is, at this point, the only encumbrance on it.
Great. But that does infer that there's roughly $425,000
absolutely
available.
Yes.
Okay. Anything before I invite him up? Can you step right up? You can have a few minutes if you need it, but obviously we have a few questions. And introduce yourself, please. It's a beautiful picture. It's the same as that you're seeing up there. Very pretty building.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Robert Lang. I'm the Executive Director of Pacific Southwest Community Development Corporation. We're located in San Diego, and we're very pleased to be here in Morro Bay presenting this property to you. As Kathleen mentioned, it was originally an 18-unit property, and as we designed and looked at the layout of the units and made them more efficient and more suitable for the senior population, we found that we had room for an additional 3 units, so it seemed a pity to waste the opportunity and not build out an additional 3 units that are so necessary for this type of housing. I can tell you that in our own company, we have something in the order of about 4,500 units, and we've got waiting lists in every property that we have, and it's heartbreaking sometimes to hear the stories of people who are wanting to lease a property, and we just haven't got the room for them. So it would be a pity to waste this opportunity, at least to add the 3 extra units. The units will be age-restricted to people who are 55 years or better, I like to say, since I'm already in that age group. But in practice, it'll be people that are probably a lot older than that, probably 20 years more than that, probably in their 70s, who will want to move into this type of unit. And with regard to the parking, I think at that age, you begin to try to discourage people from having cars and from driving. So we think that this number of parking spaces is more than adequate for those 18 units, because I'm sure there'll be several residents there who will no longer have motor vehicles. And I think that I have to admit that I hadn't given much thought as to whether it would be assigned or unassigned. I would suspect that they would be unassigned. We do have one space for a van for transportation, and we also have a space available for a handicap. So it really depends on who the occupants are, and I suspect that it will be probably first come, first served as people move into the unit. So I don't want to create a situation where there'll be a dispute between people driving into the motor court or into the parking area. But as people move in, they'll be asked whether they have a motor vehicle, and if they do, then we'll try to assign them a spot. If they're the 19th and 20th and 21st applicants and all the other parking spaces are used up, I guess they're out of luck. They'll have to park somewhere else. But I don't anticipate that, because I think there'll be more than enough parking spaces. In terms of the rent, we have 21 units total. One unit will be for the manager. The other 10, 10 of those will be rented to people who earn 50% of the area median income, and the other 10 will be rented to people who earn 60% of the area median income. So I think that goes to low. Is it low and very low? Those two categories. And it's basically a function of the financial covenants that we will enter into with the funding sources, the home funds, with the TCAC, the low-income housing tax credit people, who require those kinds of rents. As far as the building itself, we have tried to remain true to the original project that was approved and to make it compatible with existing homes that are next door, which are very attractive. I think the colors are very nicely done, and some of the features are very attractive, so we want to blend in with that property and that particular project, because it's, I think it's a great asset to the city, and we want to be an asset to the city as well. And then I think just to touch a little bit on the $600,000 or the money that the affordable housing funds that we've requested. It is not unusual, I think, for cities to provide this kind of money to help affordable housing within their cities. In fact, the money is collected expressly for that purpose. There's no other use for the money. And typically, in our experience, instead of being a gift or a grant to the developer or to the nonprofit in our case, it is a loan, and it's basically a soft loan. And I believe I'm right in saying that this is done for tax purposes, because if it were to be a loan or a gift to a private entity, although we're a nonprofit, we do have for-profit investors who do invest in the tax credits and who provide money to the property. I mean, it could be considered to be a tax event. So I believe, although I'm not an expert in tax matters, and certainly those I have throughout my career, after the first year, they're everything but meaningless, because, there's no way you can predict what the world will look like in 10 years, let alone 55 years. So I think it's a good thing for the city to have this on their books. It's an asset, and eventually I'm sure that it's likely that some money will be paid, if not all the money. And in some cases, cities and redevelopment agencies and the like will forgive the loan at the end of the term. In other cases, they'll be paid back. It'll be an asset on their books. But, who knows what's going to happen in 55 years. I think it would be very foolish of us to try and predict that. But that's fairly standard in this industry. And I think, as I said, there's no other use for the money other than to spend it on affordable housing. So with that, I'll conclude my presentation. I'll be available for any questions.
Questions? Paula? Nancy?
My understanding is that we're not discussing the $425,000 or $600,000, whichever it happens to be, at this point. When do you expect to ask for that?
Well, how about now?
How about later?
Yes, certainly.
If it's okay with you, I'll butt in. I guess we don't have the ability to approve
this
tonight. And I asked the question. I knew the answers. That you know that we don't have $600,000 available.
No, I understand, yes.
And but as you say, that money is for this purpose. I can never speak for council or how they're going to vote, but my sense is that we're supportive of the project. I would like to ask, and I think I'm butting in on Nancy's time, and I apologize for this. Your project's a go if we were to approve the $425,000.
Well, certainly we would have to look at the finances, but I think the important thing for me tonight is to have your approval for the 21 units, which will then allow me to submit the application to HCD, which is a folder I have here, which we've been working on for quite a few months now with the help of the city. City staff has been very helpful in that respect, which is due a week today. So let's, I guess, take one step at a time and submit the application, and then we can always come back. And it'll take HCD, bless them, several months to decide whether they're going to give us the home funds or not give us the home funds. So we have probably until December to come back and talk to you about any money that the city will provide to the property.
Okay, I'm just trying to be clear with you that the city has $425,000, $430,000 in that neighborhood available, and not $600,000.
I understand.
And
yeah.
If you come back and ask for $600,000, it's not there. So I just want to make sure that we understand each other.
I certainly understand that, yes.
Okay. I'm very sorry to interrupt you, Nancy.
No problem. I would just like to say she's blinking. I would like to see this project get approved tonight with the 21 units, and thank you for answering my question about how many units were which. Yet I would like to have a discussion later on the $400,000 that we have, because there is another project that's still out there. So I understand that you don't want that right now anyway, so solves that problem.
Well, I'm going to jump in on the same subject one more time and ask what the process is for the the Affordable Housing Fund when they come and ask for it.
Well,
grab him for a mic.
Your direction, and certainly Kathleen, jump in. Your direction at the, I think it was the December 2010 meeting, is to negotiate. And we did get an email from Mr. Lang last week asking to begin that process. So we will begin that process, and then it's my understanding that we'll be bringing that back to council.
So, okay, and that would be after the application process he was just talking about, which is a few months out. George. Noah.
Yeah, thank you. Follow-up to the parking discussion that we had a little bit earlier, I totally agree that in this particular location and with the population there that 18 spaces is more than enough, hopefully, for the people that will be living there. One of the questions that I asked you, and you mentioned to bring it up again, is the idea of some space for people to charge electric vehicles, whether they're electric trikes or something larger, so that that's available. And I was wondering if that was something that you could include as one of the few things I did.
Yes, I don't think that there's any difficulty with that. We can certainly put in some electrical outlets in the garage area and designate those as areas where people can charge any electrical vehicle that they might have. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
It's a beautiful building, and we wish you luck in your application process and making this all happen. We would love to see this come to our community.
So would I. Thank you.
Okay, could I hear I'm sorry, is there... Oh, the public hearing part. I forgot. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Okay.
Housing. However, I wish to remind you that there's a program out there where it's entirely funded by private money, where there's no additional infrastructure that has to be built into the town. No new streets have to be built, no new curbs, no gutter sidewalks, no new pipes in the ground. It's already there. It's called the Granny Unit Program, okay? You guys have talked about it, but we haven't seen any action on that lately. So I'm just using this little opportunity to poke a little and say, let's get on with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, for staying right on point and being relevant. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Patricia Gomez, and I am the Director for the Homeless Services Oversight Council. And the Council is a community advisory board that's keeping the pulse on our progress on implementing a path to home, which is the 10-year plan to end homelessness. Councilwoman Johnson sits on the council and brings her voice and brings the voice of the regional needs for the homeless and those who are at risk of homelessness. And I wanted to speak in part in favor of the request and support of the project. I did bring also for you a handout that I believe is passed out, which provides some of the highlights about seniors that are living in this county. And it's taken from the Action for Healthy Communities community survey report that was done at the end of last year. Increasing affordable housing and housing for low and extremely low income individuals and seniors are a very big goal of the 10-year plan to end homelessness. The highlights that I gave you have a lot of good news about seniors in our community. Many of them, most of them actually, over 50% own their own homes. They have many have a regular source of income, and they get regular health care. However, there are also some striking statistics in there that call out the need for this kind of project. 50% of the seniors that were surveyed reported that they were worse off economically this year than they were last year. 13% pay over half of their income on housing, and another 35% pay a third of their income on housing. 12% of the Section 8 waiting list is seniors. And a third of our seniors earn less than $32,000, while 11% of our seniors have income of less than $15,000. Those 11% are falling at the extremely low income level of in this region. They're 30% of AMI. And for many of these seniors, homelessness really is just one crisis away. It could be a big medical bill. It could be loss of work. 20% of our seniors are working. So I think it's very laudable that this community is supporting this project. It's very important that we have those designated units for the 60% and 50% of AMI. I would, however, urge you to consider and have conversations about whether there should also be some designation of units for the extremely low income, because those are the units that we are really needing in throughout this county that are going to keep people who are at that 30% of AMI from being on the streets. It doesn't take much to keep them housed, and every unit will help. So while I'm thankful and pleased that you're supportive of what we're getting, and would urge that you consider more. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody? Going once, going twice. Back to council. Okay, questions for staff, Mr. Lang?
The last speaker just prompted a question. As we get further into negotiations about our funding levels, could that be a component of that discussion, increasing perhaps to one extremely low unit as part of that funding component?
It could. If you could also make that tonight based on increasing the density, and say staff just didn't have any direction to pursue that, going to that level of extremely low income. From our conversations back in December, but yes, you probably could make it either or. Because you are increasing the density today, you could do it that way, or you could just do it with the loan terms, I assume. I don't know that. I think probably more appropriate would be to put it on the project tonight as a condition.
Would it be possible then to hear from the applicant as far as how that could or would change the project if we were to include a component such as an extremely low unit?
Well, I think that while it's always laudable to try and create units at that lower level of income, us getting that approved or getting enough points, because what they do is they base it on a point system. When you apply, you have various different criteria when you bring a project forward that they score the projects to rank them, so that the projects with the highest ranking get the finance. The ones with the least ranking, of course, don't get the financing. We calculated that we'd be like a 0.4 percent chance of getting that 9% tax credit, so it's really not worth applying for in our case. And there's a list that's many, many pages long that I can't really go into now, but it's a very complex area, and I don't think that we would be successful. So I would say that at this point that either we go ahead with the project as it's been submitted this evening, or I don't think that we can go ahead. And it's a sad commentary, really, on the state of the nation's and the state's finances. That there's a severe shortage of money, and there's a tremendous demand for affordable housing because so many people are seeking it. But there's only a finite amount of resources provided through the tax credit program that it makes impossible for us to compete on this project at this time. I mean, it is a very small project, 21 units. I mean, most affordable projects are 80 to 100. And there are, would you believe, other areas of the state that are even needier than Morro Bay. There are some really depressed agricultural areas. Imperial County, for example, is one of them, where they have 25-30% unemployment. And it's just a desperate situation. I think a lot of the state's funds at the 9% tax credit level will go to those communities and perhaps not be directed to this property in this community.
Just a follow-up scenario, I guess. What would it look like to adjust up potentially one of the units as far as its affordability ratio, and then also adjust down on the other side to try to balance the equation that way, if that was the direction we wanted to go?
Right. Well, we have various different sources of finance. The first would be the city, that if they come up with, you've come up with the funds for that, which is probably around 10% of the total cost. The other funds are the home funds and then the low-income housing tax credits. If we apply for low-income housing tax credits, which we must do because otherwise we can't fund the property, they will restrict the units to be rented at a maximum of 60% of AMI. So I can't increase a unit from, say, 60 to 80% and then balance that out by reducing one at, say, 50% to 30%. It's just I can't go above 60%, so that's the maximum I can rent. And, of course, I have only 20 units that are paying rent, but I still have an on-site manager and all the work that has to be done to run a property that I cannot amortize over 80 to 100 units. I can only amortize it over the other 20 units. So it becomes very difficult for us to fund a property that will offer a rent to anybody, really, at the lower rent rates that were suggested, the 30% or less.
Does staff have anything to add?
Yes. You know, a lot of times when you do these projects, you hear the same thing from a, you know, project applicant that, you know, they can't provide any further funds because the project just doesn't pencil out. And usually you have to balance that and make a decision. But in this case, you will have the second kind of, if you want to call it, a bite at the apple, and that is what the affordable housing agreement that we entered into is, that we can ask for pro forma information as to how the project pencils out exactly and look at those figures and make that determination if, in fact, you could have other units that are low. So you do have it at another time when we enter into those negotiations to look at those numbers, and that's why we didn't want to bring that agreement to you at this point in time. We want to know how much he's going to receive from home and how much he's receiving for tax credits, and then we can look at all of that and put it all together and bring it back to you, and that gives you that ability to see if it's that tight of a project, it might not work. But we want to see that. And usually, and that's how I started it, usually with these projects, you don't have that ability because they're just asking for density bonuses and not asking for funds also.
Thank you for that. And I guess that ends my questions. Should we make comments after everyone's made their questions, or what do you prefer?
No questions.
Okay.
George?
No, I... let's see. These do we have any kind of a figure of what these are actually going to rent for?
Yes, we do.
That would be very interesting.
We have the two-bedroom units will be rented to people earning 50% of the area median income, and the net rent will be $780.
And Noah's questions went to, can, you know, we ask for other units or other qualifiers on the and other things, and that can wait until we come back with the affordable housing agreement.
Nancy?
Okay, I think redundant, but it's probably a question for our city attorney. So if we really, really want some very low income or extremely low, we can include that in our discussion when we get to using the housing fund. And so we could approve this tonight, and then that would come back later.
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to be sure I was really clear.
Well, now to be really clear, then the two units are included tonight, right?
Two are already included, and let me clarify that. I don't know the whole parameters of his project and where the funding's coming from. It wouldn't come back to you if he obtained his tax credits, all he needed, and he obtained other private financing and decided he didn't want to deal with the city for the $430,000, then this project would not come back to you. The only way it would come back to you is through the need for our affordable housing funds, and then we would require financial statements and a pro forma to see how that's going to work, and we'd be able to see if, in fact, we could adjust it and provide other units for low income and give you another bite at that apple.
And that could be the extremely low. I don't think
I don't know what it would be.
Myself on that one. Thank you.
No, that's okay. I had my question answered. Thank you.
I'm concerned about the old Primrose path. And I know it can't be answered tonight, but I'm concerned that, you know, A, that we send a signal that we're going to, that we're okay at this point at least. I know we can't tie our hands for down the road on the 425. And that, you know, if it came down to whether the project goes or not, that we're okay with this project. my fear, because we've seen it so many times in Morro Bay before, is that, you know, we get and we approve this, and then he comes back, and then we start putting the squeeze, and they leave town. So tell them, let's be upfront with what we want here. The second bite at the apple months down the road, I'm not comfortable with. So as we go down the line again, I would like to hear a statement if you're, you know, supportive of the Affordable Housing Fund, and if you're comfortable with this project the way it is, or if it's your intention to insist on another a unit that's low income. He's just stated he couldn't do it, but that doesn't mean that he can't. I mean, you know, just let's send him home knowing what we're willing to approve. That would be my wish. Noah, back to you.
Well, as we've discussed, it's very challenging to forecast what the financial pictures look like. From his comments tonight, I understand that it would be challenging to make any adjustments without knowing those figures. And I'm in favor of this project. It looks like an excellent addition to our community, and it's an area that it will be addressing some of our needs. I am attracted to trying to increase the number of extremely low units, so I would like to see that be a part of our discussions in the area of a loan request coming back from us. I think that would be an important part of those negotiations to see what could be worked out, because we are very short in that area in particular, and as has been said, we don't get many opportunities to include extremely low in a project. So as it goes tonight, I'm willing to go forward with this and do want to see this project happen. So that's to me is the key. An extremely low unit would be icing on the cake and something that would be really satisfying to see, but I don't want to see that jeopardize the project.
Thank you. George.
Yes, I don't want to see this project be jeopardized in any way. John Barter brought up about the granny units. We can get some pretty low housing there, too. So let's let this man go back knowing that he's going to be able to put this project together.
I love the project.
I, too, love the project, and I would like to see it go forward. The whole question of our funding is very nebulous. It's certainly a big question. If, in fact, you do come back to us and ask for the $425,000, at that point, and I'm not ready to talk about that tonight because...
We are not encumbering the $425,000 tonight. We can't, even,
no,
if,
I understand.
Even if we wanted to. Okay, we need to go ahead, Noah.
Okay, I move we approve the amendment to the conditional use permit, increasing the density from 18 to 21 units, and adopting the resolution authorizing the submittal of application to the Home Investment Partnership Program.
I second it.
Great. Good motion making. Discussion, we'll start with you.
Pleased that you're doing this project.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And I hope that we've sent the message to you that we're supportive of this project. Great. D5, Ms. Luker.
Good evening, Council. Tonight we have a discussion on the appointment of City Council members to the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Committee. We brought this forward to you in June, and you asked us to bring this back.
Is your mic on?
Yes. Is it not allowed?
No. But go ahead.
How about now? We brought this forward to you in June with a number of other issues in a staff report, and you asked us to bring this back as a separate item. Briefly, the Chamber has formed an Economic Development Committee. The first meeting was held in April of 2011. The committee has met fairly regularly since that time and is obviously examining economic development strategies for the city, for Morro Bay. The goal of the committee, obviously, is to form a broad strategic and economic development plan and work with the Chamber. Staff would anticipate that if you appoint a couple of City Council members, you would be updated on a regular basis concerning this committee's actions.
Currently, Council Members Johnson and Smuckler have attended several of the meetings to date. As you probably know, economic development is vitally important to the city, and while there is not one single definition of economic development, the best definition that we feel is bringing new dollars or outside dollars into the community. So this evening we're looking for your direction in this issue, specifically if you are interested in appointing formally two council members to this committee.
And I guess I'd just ask Council Members Smuckler and Johnson if you're willing to serve on this committee. Yes?
Yes, we've been attending. Whether or not we're official, I plan to continue, so.
This is okay. Do we have to discuss this? Questions?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
The advisories, when we do the appointments, I guess my question is for the city attorney, because of the rules that with the council members on the other boards, we can just appoint them without having to do any of the other processes like we do in January?
We would do it right now, and then we would probably add this one in January if it's going to continue on, so that they're looked at yearly. But this is kind of a mid-year one, if that's what you mean. We appoint to all those advisory and committees always in January, but this one's coming kind of midstream. So I certainly would put this back on our list. I think the city clerk would agree that we would do this annually in January.
Thank you. My next question would be then, why, when all our advisory groups have one council member, why would we not follow the same suit of having one? And then my second half of that would be, as much as I appreciate the two council members that have been attending the meetings, Mr. League is our economic vitality rep for San Luis County. So it, for me, not to take away from the other two participating, it makes sense that he bring that to here. I mean, he's already our rep for economic vitality or whatever the name of the committee is. So just throwing that out there.
Do you want to address that, George?
I guess I was looking for the connection from what you're getting in the county to be at the city was the reason I was doing that. So that's fine. I just, all of our committees, we all have one representative, and we have somebody representing. It just seemed like it would have made sense for him to bring that information to this group. But
that he can do.
Well, he can't if there's two council members there already.
Oh, you got a point there.
That's why I...
We would.
He can't do it unless he comes through this every time, through the council every time. Seems like we're losing an opportunity there to me. You're just nodding your head.
I don't see George changing his position on this, so I guess I'm okay with this. I hear your concern, and I'm not just going to twist his arm. He didn't want to do it, and they do. I see the loss.
I don't want to do it.
He's overload. So I guess I'm... Thank you, George. May I hear a second? I'll second it. Okay. Discussion. Oh, discussion.
Just for the record, I'm going to vote no, just so you know.
I am shocked.
Are you?
Yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
See, you took all of the... everything out of it, but... telling us ahead of time. D6, Andrea.
In November of 2010, the council reviewed a staff report concerning, among other things, the percentage of funding from the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. At that time, staff understood this to mean that you would like the city to take $50,000 of funding from the TBID for the visitor center in fiscal year 2010-11 and then again in 2011-12. Ms. Solo spoke this evening, the TBID Subcommittee on Budget sent you a letter requesting that the city, believing the city should have prorated that amount from beginning in January of 2010, which would change the amount of funding by approximately $16,667. If you are interested in changing and prorating that amount, certainly staff is amenable to that, and what we would do is look at the budget, mid-year budget review for this change to occur. So we're just looking tonight for clarification on your motion from November of 2010.
Thank you. I'm going to give this right to Carla. Your motion, Carla.
Yes, it was. And I will have to echo Ms. Solo's comments in that the vote was my intent of that vote, and I believe council's when we voted, although I certainly can't speak for them, was that it was 33% starting in November. Certainly we're not going to charge them 3% when they were only collecting 2% from July to November. That wouldn't seem real fair. And the intent and the verbiage in there says from November, from the time that the new 3% was taking place. So I think there's an opportunity also, if we consider refunding that, to just reduce the money each month rather than prorating or refunding or anything. You could just reduce the monthly amount to catch up with that difference.
Thank you. Nancy?
What's the easiest way to do this and make it right for the T-bid?
May I make a suggestion and just kind of
please do
butt in? I always ask for permission. You know, just let them work that out. If whether it's a 16 here or it's monthly or it's over here, or we do it last year and refund it, or we do it next year, it's all the same amount of money. And I don't think we need to nitpick this. We just need clarity on the motion, whether it's $50,000 or whether it's $16,000 less than that.
Well, then let's just direct staff to do it the easiest way possible and work it out for the T-bid.
Great. I'll come back to you, Carla. Is that okay? George? Noah?
I'd agree. I guess I'd ask the T-bid if there's a way that gives them a better idea about what they're dealing with financially, or to have a cash flow that's conducive to their marketing efforts. If they have a preference along with our financial director, it'd be nice if there was an agreement there on the final decision, not just one side or the other saying the method they prefer.
Yeah, well, from now on, it's $50,000 a year. It's just this one year, last fiscal year, the $16,000 that they're going to get back, and however they get it back, I don't think it matters to the city, does it? You know, whatever works out best. Back to you, Carla.
Well, I was just, you know, Councilmember Smuckler was on the board when we voted for this, too, so I think he would reiterate the intent because of the 2% to 3%.
The motion to me is clear as plate glass. So do we need any action on this? To me, the motion is clear as plate glass.
It would be great to have a motion that you're going to be doing prorating the amount.
You know, we'll make it the exact same motion. It'd be the exact. We could just do this. Let's just do the exact same wording. You know, it's a clear motion.
We'll take your consensus. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Everybody good with that? Okay. Declaration of future agenda items. Carla?
No, I'm just waiting for the advisory board bylaws. That's it. I'm just waiting for that.
That's coming up, right? Next meeting. Nancy.
No.
George.
No.
Noah.
I would like to talk about the Sea Otter Awareness Week.
I am shocked. The last word. Well, do I have a second on this? No second, Noah. Sorry. Okay, anything else?
So I'm not going to bring up the Sea Lion Awareness Week that I was hoping to introduce then either. Then.
We haven't been requested that one yet.
We're already in deep trouble.
Okay.
I don't think we need to make it any worse.
How about Wildlife Awareness Week?
Anything from staff? Anything from council? Then we are adjourned. Thank you very much. Thanks for watching at home to the very end.
Yeah.